Ladies and gentlemen, does it make any difference about what a man believes? Does it make any difference about your religion? The belief of a proposition, though honest and sincere one might be, does not make it right. We are told that in Japan there is a group of religious people who believe that if they write their prayers on a piece of paper and put the paper into the mouth and chew it into a paper wad, then throw the paper wad on which the prayer has been written at an idol god, if the paper wad sticks, God is supposed to answer the prayer. If it doesn't stick, God is not supposed to answer the prayer. Who would say that these people are dishonest and insincere? My friends, because a person believes a thing to be right does not necessarily make it so. In Japan, I have seen hundreds of pieces of paper on which prayers were written, tied to the branches of a bush in the Buddhist temple areas. There can be no doubt about the honesty and the sincerity of the people who wrote those prayers on those pieces of paper, then tied them to the branches of the bush, expecting their idol God to answer them. But does that make it so? A mother in India or China may feed her child to the crocodiles to appease the gods, but does that make it right because she believes it to be so? Surely not. Ladies and gentlemen, there must be a difference about this matter of religion. What does a man believe? Is it in accord with the Word of God? In the previous address, we learned that the prophet of God lost his life because he believed a falsehood when he most sincerely believed that it was the truth. Does it make any difference about the religion that one professes today? I invite your attention to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19, verses 1 through 5. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper country, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. It is said of the Ephesians that they were disciples. A disciple is a learner, one who has been taught. They were not ignorant. The religion they practiced was the religion they had been taught. Does it make any difference about one's religion? The Ephesians were disciples who were believers. Paul asked, Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They were honestly and sincerely endeavoring to serve God according to what they believed. They were believers. Does it make any difference about what a man believes? Some religionists would affirm that man is saved by faith only, and it doesn't make any difference about what one believes. As we meditate upon this case of conversion, I ask, does it make any difference about what one believes? Not only were the Ephesians disciples who were believers, but they were believers who had been baptized, having received the baptism of John the Baptist. They were, therefore, baptized believers. Question, does it make any difference about one's baptism? Paul, the apostle, taught them the way of the Lord more perfectly. He said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. The Bible records, When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts 19, verses 4 and 5. They were baptized the second time. Really, does it make any difference? Here is a group of honest and sincere people who were believers, who had been baptized of the baptism of John the Baptist. But obviously, their faith and practice were not acceptable unto God. The baptism of John was no longer valid. Paul taught them the truth more completely. He taught them that there is one baptism. Later, in his letter to the church at Ephesus, he very appropriately reminded them that there is one baptism. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5. They had been baptized the second time in order to comply with the teaching of the Master, who declared that baptism in his name is essential to salvation. In the Great Commission, he said, "Preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Baptism that is not in the name of the Lord and for the remission of sins, according to Acts 2:38, could not be the one baptism which the inspired apostle required of the Ephesians. This matter was so important to these sincere believers that they were baptized the second time. Honestly, does it make any difference? When Paul taught the believers at Ephesus, who had previously been baptized of John's baptism, that they should be baptized into Christ, which necessitated being immersed the second time, can one imagine them replying, "Paul, do you really think it makes any difference?" They did not say, "Ladies and gentlemen, Paul, we are satisfied about what we believe. We are satisfied with our baptism. We prefer the baptism of John the Baptist. Therefore, please do not disturb us." Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Are you listening? They did not say, "It doesn't make any difference as long as one is honest and sincere in what he believes." They were honest and sincere, and it did make a difference with them. Previously, they had been taught, but taught the wrong thing about baptism, inasmuch as the gospel of Christ was then in effect. The baptism of John, obviously, was no longer valid after the baptism authorized by Christ in his gospel, offering remission of sin in his name, was instituted. The Ephesians were disciples who believed and were baptized of John's baptism. But until they were taught the word of the Lord more completely, as revealed in the gospel of Christ, and they obeyed the gospel by being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, their faith was insecure. Ladies and gentlemen, do you ask, does it make any difference? Surely there must be a difference. It is the difference between truth and error, the difference in being saved and being lost. Remember, Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8, verse 32. And it must be remembered that Paul warned the results of believing a lie or a falsehood when he said that believe a falsehood and be condemned. He said, "Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie, that they might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." 2 Thessalonians 2:10 through 12. Does that make any difference? My friends, does it make any difference about the church that one belongs to? Did you ever hear anybody say, "The church doesn't make any difference"? But does it not make any difference? If this question were settled by the opinions of men, there is hardly any doubt about the conclusion. But honest people would say, "What difference does it make about the church as long as one is honest and sincere in what he believes?" But, beloved, hear me. What does the Bible say? From the early days of New Testament Christianity, honest and sincere people have been deceived by false teachers. The apostle warned Christians of the false prophets. Peter declared, "But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways by reason in which the truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetous they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." 2 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3. Does that make any difference? It does make a difference with the inspired Apostle John about what a man believes. Hear him, and I say, are you listening? Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. 1 John 4, verse 1. A man's religion, his faith and practice, even his worship, is vain when dictated by the doctrines of men. Jesus our Lord declared, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people honoreth me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Matthew 15, verses 7 and 9. And I ask, does that make any difference? Christ, the Son of God, died for his church, purchased it with his own blood. You may read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27, and Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. If the church is non-essential, then our Lord died in vain and his blood was shed in vain. Does that make any difference? If Christ has a church, and he died for his church in order that men might be saved, would you not want to be a member of his church? It does make a difference. Before our Lord died, he announced, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Matthew 16, verses 13 through 18. This divine promise was fulfilled when Christ established his church in the city of Jerusalem. On the first Pentecost after the Lord's resurrection from the dead, the record of which is found in the second chapter of Acts, the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. And they who were saved were those that gladly received his word and were baptized in obedience to the gospel when Peter commanded, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ, for the remission of sins." The Lord added the saved to the church from the beginning. Whose church? My church, Christ declared, Matthew 16, 18. If the Lord did build his church, and the Lord did save the people from their sins, and it is the Lord who adds the saved to the church, whose church are the saved added to? Would you say that it doesn't make any difference? Surely not. Evidently, with Christ, it does make a difference. You must want Christ to add you to his church, since he alone can save you from your sins. Does it make any difference about the church if there is one church that was purchased by the blood of the Lord? In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the divine record reveals the admonition, "Feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." To be purchased by the blood of Christ is to be a member of the Lord's church. To be a member of the Lord's church is to have been purchased by the blood of Christ. May a responsible person expect to be saved without having been purchased by the blood of Christ? The Bible teaches that without the shedding of blood there is no remission. Hebrews 9, verse 22. To affirm that it makes no difference about the church, or to declare that one does not need be a member of the Lord's church to be saved, is to affirm that one can be saved without the atoning blood of Christ. This divine text declares that to be purchased by the blood of Christ is to be a member of Christ's church. A person may as well talk about being saved without the blood of Christ as to conclude that one can be saved without being a member of the Lord's church. Does it make any difference? The Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the church at Ephesus, the church which he declared was purchased by the blood of Christ, Acts 20:28, and made the positive declaration that there is one body, one church. Hear him. "And he hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body." Ephesians 1:22-23. The apostle made the same affirmation in Colossians 1:18, declaring that Christ is the head of the body of the church. Now, since it is clearly stated that the church is the body of Christ, the question is, how many bodies or churches are there? Does it make any difference? Let the Bible answer. The same apostle, Paul, to the same church, the Lord's church in Ephesus, wrote in the same letter, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, that there is one body, therefore one church. The same inspired writer who declared that there is one God, verse 6, all declared that there is one body, Ephesians 4, verse 4. The same inspired man of God who declared that there is one body also declared in the same epistle that the body is the church, Ephesians 1:22-23. Christ has one church, and that is his church. Really, does that make any difference? The venerable apostle who declared that Christ has one church, one body, which was purchased by his blood, stated the unequivocal conclusion that Christ is the Savior of the church, which is his body. These are his divine words. What is the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Ephesians 5:23. Christ is the Savior of the body, which is His church. This is indeed a most serious question. If Christ is the Savior of the body, which is His church, and you are not a member of His church, does that make any difference? I say to you in all sincerity and kindness, but without apology, the question really is, does it make any difference about the salvation of your soul? Surely, ladies and gentlemen, it does make a difference.